আসসালামু আলাইকুম ওয়ারাহমাতুল্লাহি ওয়াবারাকাতুহ। আলহামদুলিল্লাহ আলহামদুলিল্লাহি নাহমাদুহু ওয়া نستাইনুহু ওয়া نستাগফিরুহু ওয়া নুমিনু বিহি ওয়া নাতাওয়াক্কালু আলাইহি ওয়া নাউযু বিল্লাহি মিন শুরুরি আনফুসিনা ওয়া মিন সাইয়্যাতি আমালিনা মান ইয়াহদিহিল্লাহু ফালা মুদিল্লা লাহু ওয়া মান ইউদলিলহু ফালা হাদিয়া লাহু ওয়া নাশহাদু আন লা ইলাহা ইল্লাল্লাহু ওয়াহদাহু লা শারীকা লাহু ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليمًا كثيرًا كثيرًا أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم هن لباس لكم وأنتم لباس لهن فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم النكاح من سنتي أو كما قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. My respected علماء الكرام, respected elders and brothers, on this occasion of nikah that is going to take place, I thought it may be a bit important for us to discuss some aspects of nikah and some pertinent aspects, if we may term it as the ABC of nikah. Then inshallah, not only the bridegroom that gets married today or the bride that marries today, but if all of us can internalize it, digest it and bring it not only into our lives but into our homes, inshallah, we will find a tremendous amount of difference in the quality of our lives. We will find a difference in so far as our ruhaniyat, our spirituality is concerned. We will find a difference in our deen. And the most important aspect, as far as the material things of this world is concerned, is that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, and Allah speaks about in the Quran Kareem, when He speaks about one of the objectives of marriage, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about sukoon, Allah speaks about peace and tranquility. So this ABC of marriage, very simple for us to remember. The very first of it is the A stands for Allah. The A stands for Allah in the sense that when man and woman gets married, now it is immaterial whether they stay in the homes of their parents, maybe it's a granny quarters, maybe they remain and they stay separately or independently. But this nikah brings into being a home. And that home becomes a very important and integral part of society, community and the ummah at large. That is, that home is managed in a manner according to the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then inshallah we will find that there will be many shining stars that will emerge from that home. And when we speak about Allah in this home, then obviously we need to understand and realize that the ahkam and the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be upheld in the home of a mu'min, in the home of a believer. Together with that, both spouses and family members need to realize that it is only the hukam, the command of Allah, it is only the taqdeer of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that will take its course in every major and minor aspect of our lives. And this is the understanding with which we come into this marriage and we bring this home into being. But together with that is to take the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In other words, to perpetually, to continuously speak about the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The barakat of the name of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is one thing. And on the other hand, the compassion and the kindness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is something else. You know, in the ayats of the Quran Kareem, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, تَكَادُ السَّمَاوَاتُ يَتَفَطَّرْنَ مِنْ فَوْقِهِنَّ وَالْمَلَائِكَةُ يُسَبِّحُونَ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّهِمْ وَيَسْتَغْفِرُونَ لِمَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes reference to all those people that have attributed some form of child to Allah. Whether it is the Nasara that have attributed Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wassalam as the son of God, whether it is the Yahud who have attributed and said that Hazrat Uzair alayhi salatu wassalam is the son of Allah. In Makkah Mukarrama, the kuffar of Makkah used to say that the malaika are the daughters of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whoever it may be. And if you can understand the severity of it, in another ayat of the Quran Kareem, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, تَكَادُ السَّمَاوَاتُ يَتَفَطَّرْنَ مِنْ فَوْقِهِنْ تَكَادُ السَّمَاوَاتُ يَتَفَطَّرْنَ مِنْهُ وَتَنْشَقُّ الْأَرْضُ وَتَخِرُّ الْجِبَالُ هَدَّا أَنْ دَعُوا لِلرَّحْمَانِ وَلَدَا. The severity of it and the impact of such a heinous sin is this, that the skies would have burst, the mountains would have trembled and would have crumbled, the world would have been torn into pieces simply because man has ascribed a son to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now if we can understand how severe it is, but yet Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, in Allah's compassion, Allah's kindness, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala appointed malaika. And these malaika, they make dua by the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, seeking forgiveness on behalf of these people merely and only so that they may get hidayat. That is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. On the other hand, when man begins to take the name of Allah, the kind of barakat, the kind of hidayat that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends down into that home, into that area and that place, can be understood by an incident that had taken place in the time of Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam. A person by the name of Rafi bin Umair, he was in a state of kufr and he was traveling this arduous and lengthy journey, and he comes by a valley, very tired at night. Much to his dislike, he had to disembark because of tiredness. And even before Islam, the Arabs had understood the concept, or rather the existence of jinnat. And this valley was a valley that was known to have been inhabited by jinnat. So this Rafi ibn Umair, now in this state of tiredness, he could not continue any further. And on the other hand, knowing the danger, but having no option, he dismounts his camel and he begins to lie down. Now in a state of kufr, in a state of disbelief, Rafi bin Umair begins to make a dua. And in that dua, he says, Allahumma inni a'udhu bi sayyidi hadhal wadi min al jinn. The dua is a very complex dua. On the one hand, Allahumma, we all understand that he's taking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's name. They knew who Allah was. And on the other hand, he is seeking the refuge of the leaders of the jinn from the jinnat. So just taking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's name, and that is the point. He takes the name of Allah in the state of kufr, obviously being afraid, fearing his life. Nonetheless, sleep overpowers him, and in that sleep, he sees a dream three times. That a person, a young man, comes with a knife to slaughter his camel. And can we understand and imagine what kind of a nightmare would a person go through? That this is my only hope, my only way out of this valley should anything happen. And this person is endeavoring to slaughter this camel. He gets up the first time and realizes it is a dream, and he goes back to sleep. The second time the same thing happens. The third time he sees in a dream a person saying to him that, Rafi, why don't you travel, mount your camel and travel to Madinah Munawwara. So he mounts his camel and he travels to Madinah Munawwara, and on coming to Madinah Munawwara, he comes into the presence of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah's Nabi is in Medina. Rafi was in some valley very far away off from Medina Munawwara. And Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam begins to relate his dream to him. that Rafi, this is what you saw in the dream. That was sufficient for Rafi to accept Iman and Islam. Now brothers, the important aspect is this, that in a state of kufr, he took Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's name, and he said, Allahumma, you and I, if we can just bring about this consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala into our hearts, into our minds, if we can remember Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala in our homes, not only by making the dhikr of Allah, but speaking about the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, fulfilling the ahkam and the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In one hadith, Nabi alayhi salatu wassalam said, La taj'alu buyutakum qubura. That do not make your houses a qabristan. Do not make it a cemetery. Dead people live in a cemetery. But your house has to be alive. And how is it going to be alive? And that is simply by bringing the name of Allah in the house, in our homes. So number one is to remember the greatness of Allah, to speak about the greatness of Allah. Secondly, to make the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thirdly, to fulfill all the ahkam and all the rules and the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second aspect, that is the A of our marriages, the B of our marriages, is beloved Nabi Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If we analyze the difficulties that all of us are going through, the lack of tranquility, the lack of what we call sukoon, the lack of peaceful conditions, one is of obviously the absence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from our hearts, and secondly, the absence of our Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from our lives. Brothers and friends, from time and to time we hear about the greatness of our Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. From time to time we hear about the virtues of the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But the time has come that we need to bring about a revolution in our homes. We need to bring the sunnah of our Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam into our homes. In every aspect of the sunnah, we will find that there is tremendous barakat that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has kept. On the other hand, we will find Imam Abdullah Daylami rahmatullah alayhi, he speaks about what he used to hear. He was a tabi'i, and he speaks about what he used to hear from the sahaba ikram radiallahu ta'ala anhu majma'in. He says that I used to hear from the pious ancestors that the very first thing that will leave this ummah, that will be the cause of the degeneration of this ummah, and the very first thing that will cause the iman to leave the hearts of the people will be when they leave the sunnah of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As a matter of fact, it has been narrated in Durr-e Mansur that one person has narrated from Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in his lifetime that here I see people accepting this deen of Islam in large and huge numbers. And Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala alludes to the fact, إِذَا جَاءَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ وَالْفَتْحِ وَرَأَيْتَ النَّاسَ يَدْخُلُونَ فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ أَفْوَاجًا. That O Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you will see people entering the fold of Islam in huge and large numbers. It comes in one riwayat, in one narration, that on one single day, 700 people entered Madinah Munawwara from Yemen. Some of them saying, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Others saying, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Others saying, Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. It was as though the adhan has been called out by 700 people at the same time. They come into the presence of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And can we imagine the elation of Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam when we reflect on the earlier part of his life, that there were those days when people would throw stones at Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when people would place thorns in front of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that very same Nabi with those Mubarak eyes see 700 people come to Masjid al-Nabawi and they accept Iman and Islam at the hands of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, I can also see a time will come in my ummah that in large groups and large numbers, Allah forbid, Allah save us, people will leave the deen of Islam. One by one, people will leave the deen of Islam. So Abdullah Daylami, rahimahumullah, says, the Sahaba ikram, radiallahu ta'ala, anhum used to say, like how a coil, or like how a spring, or like how we have a rope, and one by one, the coils begin to unfold. Like that, when the sunnah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam begin to leave the lives of this ummah, then the great detrimental effect that it will have is, Allah forbid, iman will also leave the hearts of this ummah. So one very, very important aspect, respected and dear friends, it is not an issue of piety. It is not just an issue of being holy, but in actual fact, it is an issue of the protection of our iman. That we begin to bring one by one the sunnah of our Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wasallam into our homes, into our lives, into our businesses, in every aspect of our lives. Insofar as our akhlaq and our character is concerned, our interaction with others, and the home is the ideal place. Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wasallam has shown us from the time that we get up till the time we leave. We go out of our homes, we come back, till the time we sleep. In every aspect, our Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wasallam has chalked out a way. And in that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept our hidayat. Wa in tuti'uhu tahtadu. If you obey Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, hidayat will come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the B of our marriage life. The A is Allah, our association, our affinity with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, fulfilling the ahkam of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. The B is beloved Nabi Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam's entire way of life should become our own way of life. In every aspect, inshallah, we will find that then the sukoon, that itminan, and the ease and tranquility will begin to come into our hearts and into our minds, inshallah. The C of marriage is in actual fact consideration, companionship, compassion. That now we find that two human beings from two diverse, different backgrounds, different homes, sometimes different priorities, sometimes different cultures, come together in this institute of nikah. The very word of tazweej, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses in the Quran Kareem, which we term as marriage, the ulama have written, in actual fact, in its original, it means a partnership. But this is not a business partnership in which both of them are going to share the profits. This is not a partnership in any investment. This is not a partnership in any profession. This is an actual partnership in life in itself, which does not have any value. We cannot attach any value to it. It is of such a nature that the more that we give into this partnership, the more we are going to benefit from it. One very great difficulty we have is many of us want something out of the marriage. And it is not what we want from the marriage, it is what we are going to give into the marriage, is what we will get out of the marriage. The same concept works in business. The more we give into the marriage, the more we are going to get out of this marriage. Our Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wasallam is the greatest of all examples for us. And our Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wasallam had taught us how to attach value to human beings, especially when those human beings have brought iman. Here is a wife that comes into our nikah, and here is a husband that has married a woman. If that woman can attach value to that husband, and if that husband can attach value to that wife, then we will find by that mutual consideration for each other, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will create such an environment. With the preceding two facts, with Allah in that home, Allah in our hearts, the sunnah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, the due consideration that each one has for the other, we will find that that becomes an ideal platform for the offspring and the children to come. Just to give you one or two examples very quickly from the life of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wasallam, there was a person by the name of Zahir bin Haram. This person used to come to Medina Munawwara. He was from the outskirts of Medina, and he had some very noble traits. Amongst his noble habits
was that whenever he came to Medina Munawwara, he would always bring a hadiah, a parcel, a gift to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam of some kind of produce from the outskirts of Medina, from the farm. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam would cherish this, and in return, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam will give him something so that he could take back home. On one occasion, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam goes to the marketplace, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam sees this person busy, engaged in his buying and selling. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam gets hold of him from behind in such a manner that he is unable to look behind to see who is there. And Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam and many of the ulama have actually quoted this hadith in the light-heartedness of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. When they speak about the light-heartedness of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, they quote this hadith. But I find it most opportune for us to understand that here Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam holds him from behind. He's unable to see Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is now putting him up for sale. May yashtari hadhal ghulam. Who is there to purchase this slave? And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam is joking with this person. After a while, he realizes it is a Nabi of Allah. And how blessed and fortunate were they that now he begins to move back, trying to get closer to the chest of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, so that his body will touch the Mubarak body of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. But then he says to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, now in the narration it comes, he wasn't a very handsome or good looking person. He was a person that himself he had understood and realized that was not good looking. So he says to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Ya Rasulullah, if you have to sell me, you will not fetch a very good price. In other words, I am such a person that is useless. I am such a person that do not have the looks. There is no one that is going to purchase me for even tuppence. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, no, my brother, by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you are most valuable. This is Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He showed the true value of a mu'min. And again now in our nikahs, in our marriages, in our homes, as a matter of fact, be it our parents, our siblings, our children, whoever it may be, our associates, if they've got iman, and we give them the due value because of the iman that was shown to us by Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, it will begin to make a difference, not in their lives, it will make a difference in our lives. Then we find Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam with our mother, Hazrat Siddiqa Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. Once Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam is sitting with her, and Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam makes dua for her, and he says, Allahumma kfil li Aishata ma taqaddama min dhanbiha wa ma ta'akhara wa ma asarrat wa ma alanat aw kama qal. Oh Allah, forgive all the past and future sins of Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, those sins that were secret, those sins that were known to one and all. Oh Allah, forgive all those sins. Now brothers, before we continue, we need to ask ourselves a very pertinent question, that how many of us continuously make dua for our wives? We'll make dua for our children perhaps, we'll make dua for our parents, but do we find a space in our hearts to make dua for our wives on a continuous basis? And when we speak of the sunnah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, these are also those sunnah and sunan of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam that we need to bring into our lives. The dear Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam showed us a far exceeding example of the kind of husband Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam was. I'll conclude with the story of Imam Shafi'i rahmatullah alayhi, for us to understand that if every marriage can have this ABC, if every marriage and every home can have the ABC of marriage, then we will find the offspring that come out, inshallah, will be shining stars of Islam. We all know that Imam Shafi'i rahmatullah alayhi was born in Gaza, and then a part of his life, Imam Shafi'i rahmatullah alayhi went to Makkah Mukarramah. And in the period of time that he was in Makkah Mukarramah, the great Imam of Medina, Imam Malik rahmatullah alayhi, resided in Medina Munawwara. And it came into the heart of Imam Shafi rahmatullah alayhi that I should go out to Medina Munawwara to hear a hadith from Imam Malik. So it is narrated, it took a 17-day journey for Imam Shafi rahmatullah alayhi from Makkah Mukarramah to Madina Munawwara. And in this period of 17 days, every day he made one khatam of the Quran Karim. He comes to Madina Munawwara, and now he enters the class of Imam Malik rahmatullah alayhi, and he saw that all the students that thronged around Imam Malik rahmatullah alayhi were people that were of a very serious nature in trying to learn the ahadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wassalam. And as Imam Malik rahmatullah alayhi narrated hadith, they were noting and writing down the hadith from Imam Malik rahmatullah alayhi. But Imam Shafi had no pen, he had no ink, he had no paper. So Imam Shafi rahmatullah alayhi puts his index finger in his tongue and he begins to write on the palm of his hand as Imam Malik rahmatullah alayhi narrated these ahadith. On that particular day, 123 ahadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wassalam was narrated. After 123 ahadith, obviously with the chain of narrators were narrated, Imam Malik spotted the young Imam Shafi'i and he asked him, "What have you been doing?" So he replied, "I have been listening to the ahadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wassalam and noting it down." So he said, "Show me what you have written." So he said, "Oh Imam, I have not written it with any ink of this world on any paper, but I have written the ahadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wassalam in my heart." And 123 ahadith, one after the other, in the same order, he narrates to Imam Malik rahmatullah alayhi. Brothers and friends, when this kind of seriousness with regards to the ahadith, the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam comes in our lives, inshallah we will find that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will bring about that barakat. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala bless this nikah with barakah, with love and mawaddat. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep the home of each and every Muslim a happy home. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.
Syntax CD Productions, bringing the sounds of Islam to you.